morning, Northridge. How are you guys? Good to see you. My name is Pete. I'm one of the pastors here at Northridge. We're honored you're here. I want to welcome those of you that are online as well. We're so glad you're with us. Wasn't worship great today? It's always nice sometimes just to kind of bring it down a little bit slower, and it really fits in with the whole theme of what we're talking about today, which is rest. The only difficult part of that worship was the part where Evan tried to get us to clap and sing at the same time. Like, I'm like, okay, I got it this time. I'm going to do it. And like 5 seconds into it, as soon as I try to sing and clap, it's like my brain's like, bro, you got to choose one or the other. We can't do both. So I just chose to sing. And it's always fun to watch in each service. You guys, by the way, you made it longer than the other services. You were like 20 seconds strong of clapping. And then all of you guys were kind of like, yeah, I can't do it either. Yeah, I'm just going to stick to singing. It's fun. I love it. So we're talking about rest today because we've been in this series called What If It's True? And one of the things we're going to talk about today is what if it's true that the Sabbath was taken seriously by God? What if it's true that the Sabbath was actually a gift intended like to give us life, not to take life away? What if it's true that you were designed to live with a certain rhythm in your life? And if you can grasp on to what it is we're going to talk about today, I promise you, it can change the way that you work. So we're going to talk about rest, but let me talk about work for just a second, because there's a balance to these two things, as we're going to see as we talk about rest today. And what I want you to understand as we talk about rest is, first and foremost, God actually does care about your work. He cares about your work. He cares about what you do. He cares about the company that you work for or that you lead. He cares about the customers that you serve. He cares about the gifts and the abilities that he's given you to do this work. He cares about the families that we lead and we manage as work, right? He cares about what we do. And I don't think, I always want to make sure I point this out, I don't believe that there are like secular jobs and sacred jobs. Right? And some people, that's the way you kind of view life. Like, there's these sacred jobs over here. These are the jobs that, like, really matter to God, like pastors and missionaries and social workers and people like that, right? Those are these sacred jobs. And then there's these secular jobs over here that the vast majority of us are doing that maybe don't count quite as much. But listen, you have to understand this. You don't get more points for being a missionary over a hairstylist, or you don't get more points for being a pastor than you do being a CEO, right? There's no sacred, and it's all sacred. Everything that you do matters. What you do matters, and the way in which you do it matters. And scripture talks a lot about this. From the very beginning, before the fall, before sin, God had given Adam a job. He'd given him responsibility, he'd given him purpose. So your gifts, your abilities, the work you do, the way you do it, all that matters, all right? It really does count. But it's also possible to take something that was given to us as a gift, right? That was given to us in a way in which it was supposed to serve us, but if not looked at and treated properly, it actually begins to enslave you, right? It's possible. If you think about it in your life, there's multiple things, right, that God has given to you as a gift, and it's meant to serve you, but if it's taken out of the proper context, it actually begins to enslave you. And one of those things can be work, can be your gifts and your abilities. And I think that the vast majority of people living in our culture today are missing something. I think the vast majority of you listening to this message, whether you're here in this room or you're watching online, I believe the vast majority of are missing something. And we're missing something, and our culture is okay with you missing this something. In fact, our culture sometimes celebrates people who are missing this something. People in our culture can get promoted for intentionally dodging this thing that many of us are missing. And for lack of a better term, the thing that we're missing is breathing room. It's a little bit of breathing room. You ever find yourself kind of going through life and going through all the motions, and inside you're just thinking to yourself, I just need a little breathing room. I need a little space. I need this whole thing called life to slow down just a little bit. We have a culture that chronically overworks, and it's taken it to the point where we've actually made overwork and busyness a value. Like, as if that is a good thing. But the reality is, and we know this, like, if we get really honest about this conversation, all the studies out there, all the research, all the collective wisdom points to the fact that living an overworked, busy, frenzied lifestyle is not good for you. It's not good for your families. And yet, I bet a bunch of you who are caught up in that pattern of overwork and busyness, if you and I were to go to lunch today and I were to just say, hey, let's figure this thing out. Why are you doing this to yourself? You might say something like this to me. I'm doing it for my family, right? I want my kids to have some opportunities that I didn't have. And if I had you hooked up to a lie detector test, you'd pass it. You really believe that. But you know how many people I know who have used that excuse for decades, only to one day wake up and this family that they thought they were doing all this for are gone. They're gone. Because they never got loved. They never felt seen, right? And they were just doing life without you. There's a lot of different reasons we do this, but we know it's not good for our families. We know it's not good for our health. All the studies out there, right? The whole healthcare industry believes and agrees that so many of our common ailments, from heart disease to cancer, are directly related to overwork and busyness. CNN study that was recently done showed that people who worked an 11-hour day were 250% more likely to get depression than somebody who works an 8-hour day. It impacts us physically, it impacts us mentally, and there are a lot of reasons why we do this, right? Even though it's not good for us, there are a lot of reasons why we do this, and that's why it's kind of hard to solve this whole problem. For some of you, overwork and busyness is directly tied to your identity. That's why you do this. You wouldn't know who you are without the overwork and the busyness. It's become a part of your identity. And you think that your worth is tied directly to what it is that you do. You don't know who you would be without your work, without your gifts, without your abilities. And so you just keep driving forward, like thinking that's how you're gonna make yourself somebody. Some of us are driven to overwork and busyness because we're just people pleasers. Like, some of us are just wired that way. Any kind of type A people here like me, you're just kind of wired that way. Yeah, I was oldest in the family, right? Oldest of the siblings. We just have this thing inside of us where we feel like we want to take responsibility for everybody. We want to take responsibility for everything. We're the kind of people that are wired that if you get an email, you got to respond to it immediately. If you get a phone call, you got to call that person right back. You know, it's like you're tied to your phone 24/7. It's like, I have my phone on me now. Why do I have my phone on me now? Am I going to answer a phone call in the next 30 minutes? Or respond to a text? No, there's nothing I can even do with this. Like, why do I feel like I have to have it on me? But we feel that way, right? I've seen some of you already send two or three texts in the first 5 minutes of this mess. You guys know I can see you, right? There is not a wall here. I can see. Last week, this is funny. I think it was right where you're sitting. It wasn't you, though. I want to make that clear. Dude was knocked out cold 2 minutes into the message. Totally out. Like, I'm watching him. It's not like he's trying to fight it. You know how sometimes we fight it in church? He gave up the fight. He was out cold. And he had a cup of coffee right there in the thing. And I'm like, somebody opened his mouth and just poured in there. It's not doing him any good sitting there in the cup holder. He needs some caffeine, right? So maybe here's a new rule, because it's totally cool if you need to take a nap during the message, right? Let's at least sit 5 rows back. Let's reserve the first 5 rows for those of you who would like to choose to stay awake throughout the course of this message. If you're up in a balcony, you can lay down. I can't see squat up there. You can lay down, have a good time, play checkers, whatever. I cannot see a thing up there. You're safe. But you guys, I need you to engage a little bit. Just keep your eyes open. That would be great. It'd be awesome. What are we even talking about? I am so lost. I know it was about overwork, Sabbath, God, Jesus. We have a lot of excuses, right, for why we fall into this pattern. And so for some of you, again, you'll use the excuse that it's just a season, but you've been saying that now, right, for decades. For some of you, you're like, oh, it's just my industry. I don't have a choice. For some of you, you're going to say it's the number of kids you have or the age that they are or that you just lack discipline in your life. Listen, all these excuses could be contributing factors, but let me tell you the number one reason why we overwork and live this busy, frenzied lifestyle. The number one reason, I believe, is fear. you fear that you're gonna get behind, right? And so if you don't work an 80-hour week, somebody else might work an 80-hour week and they might get ahead of you. If your kid's not enlisted in soccer, lacrosse, baseball, basketball, chorus, scouts, art, all at the same time, your kids might be slipping behind, right? We fear that somehow we're getting behind. We fear that we're missing out, or we fear that our kids are missing out. We fear that we might miss out on a little bit of money. We might miss out on a little bit of opportunity. We might miss out on that title. We might miss out on that corner office. We fear falling behind. Bottom line is the core fear that so many of us have, we fear not mattering. We fear that our lives won't matter. And what's crazy, this is so ironic, our fear of not mattering is keeping a lot of us from what actually matters the most. And from the very beginning of time, God established a rhythm. He literally baked this into creation. The way in which he created our world, he baked this into the rhythm. He wanted to show us, he wanted to model this. It was never his intention that we would get our identity, that we would get our worth, that we would get our value from work and from busyness. It was important. He wanted us to have purpose. But all along, he had this plan for breathing room, and it was called the Sabbath. So just to make sure we're on the same page, which is a generic definition of what the Sabbath is, it's just breaking from our regular frenzied activities to participate in activities that refresh, remind, and encourage our understanding that we are loved and cherished by a good God. Right? That's all it is. Very basic, right? Don't want to overcomplicate this thing. All it is a break. It's a disruption in the normal pattern so that we can stop, we can slow down, maybe even pause, right, and engage in activities, whatever those activities might be, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. It's going to be different for all of us, right? There are things that are going to help us refresh, remind, and encourage our understanding that we are loved and that we are cherished by a good God. This has been God's plan from the very beginning. Now, I want to be real careful. Let's talk about how this happens. And the bottom line is, you have to choose it. You have to choose the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not something that just happens to you. You have to make a conscious decision that you want to choose it. Now, I want to be real careful here in how I kind of coach us to how we apply the Sabbath to our life, because in the time of Jesus, they had really manipulated the Sabbath. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, in their legalism, took something that was intended to be a gift, the Sabbath, intended to be about refreshment, about renewal, about connecting to God's love and God's grace. It's about reminding us that we're not just human doings, we are actually human beings. They took that gift and they manipulated it. And they created dozens and dozens and dozens of laws about what you could do, what you couldn't do, when it started, when it stopped, and they ruined the gift. So I want to be real careful not to get legalistic about this, but one of the things that I know about the Sabbath is you have to choose it. It's not just going to happen to you. Nobody can do this for you. Your spouse can't choose it for you. Your kids can't choose it for you. Parents can't choose it for you. You have to make this decision. And the Sabbath is all about helping us worship a good God and not the good work that he's given us. But the tricky thing about the Sabbath is that it's a form of rest, right? But it's different than sleep. Sleep can be forced on you. If you go long enough without sleep, your body will completely shut down. You will pass out. Sleep will force itself on you. Sabbath doesn't do that, right? The Sabbath, if you resist it, it pulls back, right? The Sabbath is easy to skirt. In fact, it's easy to go your entire life skirting the Sabbath, not taking advantage of the Sabbath, and never figure out that that was part of the reason that you were in so much pain. To never figure out that it's part of the reason that your work was actually so unsatisfying and your friendships were so fragile and your family was so splintered and you just felt so frenzied. It's easy to skip the Sabbath and not connect the dots to how it's impacting your life and your work and your family. So nobody can do this for you. And the big question is why? Why were we designed like this? What is the whole purpose of the Sabbath? And I'm going to give you two things. The first thing that the Sabbath does for us is it just reminds us of our limitations. And we'll look at two separate texts talk about the Sabbath. They sound very similar, by the way. The first one's in Exodus, and we'll look at another one here in just a second that's out of the book of Deuteronomy. And they sound very similar, except for what the author does is ties the event or the commandment of the Sabbath to two separate events. The first event you're going to see in Exodus is he ties it to creation, all right, so that you can be reminded of your limitations. So Exodus 20, it says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day, right? So he's showing us a rhythm, right? It's a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in the 6 days that the Lord made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he set it apart as holy. So he takes the Sabbath and he talks about, hey, this is a special day. It's a unique day. It's not supposed to be like the other days. And one of the reasons you're going to do that is it's going to remind you that that was the exact same pattern in which God created the world, right? We've been made in his image. So that means we work in a similar pattern that he works. And God modeled for us this pattern of work, 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 rest. Work, 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 rest. And if God needed that, how much more do you and I need that? So the observance of the Sabbath is tied directly to creation. So rhythm of work is key. There's a pattern. There's a groove. Overwork and underwork both violate our very nature of how we've been created. You understand that? There's a balance between work and rest. Work and rest. It's this pattern. God's saying, I want you to imitate me in order to discover that you're not me and that deep down inside you truly need me. And there's something about this rest, right? We see it in other places in scripture. Psalms 46 says, be still and know that I am God, right? Be still. Like, what is it about being still that makes it easier to know that he's God? Well, that's pretty easy, right? When you're busy and you're frenzied and you're always running around manipulating, controlling things, everything in your life, it's real easy to begin to convince yourself that you're like God, that you're in control, that if you don't do it, it won't happen. It's very easy to get caught. So he says every once in a while, you need to be still, because when you get still, you come into that knowledge and that realization that there is a God and it's not me, right? See, we don't practice the Sabbath because all the work got done. No, we practice the Sabbath because God promises us that he'll make up for the work that we didn't get done, right? And if God can take any messes and mishaps and wreckage and choreograph beauty and meaning from it, then I think you can take a day off. Now, if he can't, you better get busy, right? God's either good and in control, or you better try a lot harder, right? It's kind of that simple. And so part of the Sabbath is reminding us of our limitation. The second thing that the Sabbath reminds us of is God's care and God's plan, right? That's what it does. Here's the other passage I was telling you about, Deuteronomy 5. It says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen, your donkeys, all your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. Remember, now here's where it switches up, right? It sounded exactly like that Exodus passage, but the Exodus passage tied the Sabbath to the pattern of creation. Now what's gonna happen here is he's gonna tie it to a very significant event in the nation of Israel's history. He says, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. So now he's gonna tie it to their history. So see, what happened is he's saying, hey, listen, there was a day that you guys were slaves. That was your story. For 400 years, you guys were slaves in Egypt. And what that looked like for them, a typical day, was just work, right? They made bricks for Pharaoh. So it was bricks, 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 bricks. Late at night, they got a little bit to eat if they were lucky. Then they got a little bit of rest. And they woke up the next day, and it was bricks, 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 bricks. End of the day, little bit of food, a little bit of rest, and right back. 7 days a week for 400 years. That was their pattern of life. They were not treated like human beings. They were treated like human doings. That all of their value was in making bricks. And so now God kind of intervenes and brings Moses into the picture and leads them out of 400 years of slavery. So now they've been set free. But just because you've been set free doesn't mean that you know how to live free, right? There's a difference. So they've been technically set free, but 400 years of slavery, 400 years of thinking your only value came from making bricks, right? Now you've got to learn what it means to actually be free, to actually live free. So God, in his loving kindness and wisdom, said, I'm going to help you guys out. We're going to start this new community called the Nation of Israel. You're my people. And we're going to do things a little differently in this community. And I got to teach you guys what it means, what it looks like to live free in community with one another. And then he gives them the Ten Commandments. That's all the Ten Commandments were. He was like, I'm going to give you kind of a model for what it's like to be free and live in community with one another. He's like, I'm going to give you some things that are going to really help you out. Like, try this. Let your stuff just be your stuff and don't steal your neighbor's stuff. If you'll do that, if you'll not, like, take his stuff, don't steal his donkey, like, guess what? This community thing is going to work out a lot better. So just do that. He's like, I'll give you another tip. How about your wife just stays your wife and your neighbor's wife just stays his wife? How about that? Right? Just let his wife be his wife and your wife be your wife. And guess what? This community thing is going to work out a lot better. Life's going to be a lot easier for you. Right? And then one of the other Ten Commandments he gave him was the Sabbath day. He's like, listen, I'm gonna teach you guys what it's like to be human, right? And here's the reality. I did not create you just to work. No, there's a pattern. There's a rhythm to this. You are more than what you do. And on the Sabbath day, I'm gonna help you remember that you're a human being, not a human doing. See, they thought they didn't have the right to rest. And that's exactly what some of you have been convinced of. You don't think you have the right to rest. And technically, that might be true, right? There's a lot of things in my life I don't absolutely have the right to. I don't have the right to my home. I don't have the right to my family. I don't have the right to my job. I don't have the right to my salvation. So, yes, we could add rest to that list and say, yeah, I don't have the rights for that. But thank God, my God could care less about my rights. And what he cares about and what he cares about deeply are my needs. And he's created me in such a way where I have the undeniable need for rest in my life. And the Sabbath is just about God saying, listen, your ultimate responsibility is not to take care of yourself. That's my ultimate responsibility. Now, the truth is God has set up an economy in our world where for the most part, we do meet our means through natural ways, right? Scripture says 6 days you work. So I work 6 days and I get paid, right? That's kind of the way it works. So it's very easy in the system that God has set up for me to sometimes convince myself that I am the main provider for myself and my family. And God says, I'm gonna institute this Sabbath so it'll be this weekly reminder to you that it is not your ultimate responsibility. You are not a slave. You're not a slave to culture's expectations. You're not a slave to your family's hopes. You're not a slave to your medical school's demands. You're not a slave to your own insecurities. He said, I'm gonna give you a gift and I want you to take a day. And you structure that day around the kind of activities that are gonna help you remember the goodness of God and the grace of God and the love of God. The Sabbath was a day for me to just stop and open my eyes and remember how good life is, right? It's this day to just slow down and to just watch the sunset, right? It's a day to lay in a hammock and read an amazing book. It's a day to go have a fantastic lunch with friends, unhurried lunch, where you just enjoy each other and you enjoy the food and the drink and the conversation, right? It's a day you just slow down and you shut off or you unplug from whatever you need to shut off and whatever you need to unplug from to be reminded that you're not just a machine. God believes that you have value. And when I stop and when you stop and that we remember that we are loved just because we exist, then what we realize, so much of our effort is chasing after something we've had all along, right? You get that, right? You are loved just because you exist. And you gotta have that rhythm in your life of stopping and just remembering, yeah, I'm loved just because I exist. My worth and my value is not directly tied to just the work that I do. And we all need this rhythm. Now, let's make this super practical, right? I want the get it factor to go way up so that you can't walk out of here saying, I was totally lost. I had no clue what that guy was talking about. So I'm gonna give you some homework. And I got four questions I want you guys to ask yourself. You can ask it in the context of your marriage if you're married. You can involve your whole family in this if you want to. You can take a picture of these questions because I don't know if they exist anywhere else. So here's number one. Number one is, can you commit to try for a month, just for 1 month, reserving one day to rest, revive, and remember? So one day a week, can you do that? Can you say, all right, I'm gonna do an experiment and I'm gonna try to structure one day a week for a month to have this day that's gonna be reserved to rest, revive, and remember, all right? So that's question number one. If you answer no to that question, by the way, you can skip the rest of them, okay? Number two, which day of the week, right? So here's where I don't want us to get real legalistic about this. So for me, Sunday has never been my Sabbath day, not in my entire adult life. It's almost anti-Sabbath in some ways, right? Because it's kind of a work day for me. And I have Sabbath moments inside of that, but it's not truly my Sabbath. Because this is the day that I can lean into my gifts and my abilities and not God's. And I don't want to do that. But for me, I've got to move that Sabbath to a different day, right? So I don't know what this looks like for you, but you discuss it. What day is going to work best? What is your Sabbath going to look like? Question three, what are the activities that you need to best rest, revive, and remember? So again, we're all wired differently. And there's gonna be different things, right, that connect you to God, that remind you of his grace, that remind you of his love, and it's gonna look different for all of us. Some of you, you just need to take a nap, right? How many of you are nappers? How many nappers do I have? Oh, that's good. So I was just thinking about the dude that was asleep last week. He wouldn't even had a chance to raise his hand. Like, that would have been his moment. Like, I'm a champion napper, and he totally missed it. So nap, maybe that's what it is for you. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Amen? Yeah. All right, time on the water. I put that one in there because that's me. Yeah, for some reason, water has always been a place, an environment where I just easily connect to God and his grace. I don't know why. I'm sure if I thought real hard, there's some experience in my past that taught me that, but that's me. Some of you, it's worship, it's prayer. Maybe it's a slow dinner with friends. Again, don't get legalistic about it. This is a gift. Whatever, if it's golf for you, then go play a nice slow round of golf with some friends, right? I personally think golf is a fantastic way to ruin a good walk. Like that's not gonna connect me to God. I might use his name throughout the course, but that's not really connecting me to God. But you gotta figure that out, brainstorm that, all right? And then number four, what will be some non-negotiables for you? All right, what are some things that, you know, I will do or we will do as a family? And then what are some things we're just not gonna do those things, right? It disconnects us. Like, again, I'm not suggesting this, but maybe for you, it would be social media. And you just say on Sabbath, whatever day that is, I need to disconnect from that. Because if there's anything that kind of draws me out of God's presence, and if there's anything that makes me feel like I'm falling further behind, it's social media. So I don't know. Again, don't get legalistic about it, but also be smart and use wisdom and be intentional about this and create this day where you can really get out of it what God intended for you. The biggest thing I want you to hear is it is a gift, right? It's his invitation. And it reminds me so much of this passage in Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus said this. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Does that describe any of you guys? All of you who are weary and burdened, all of you who are overworked, all of you who are living frenzied lifestyles, all of you who woke up this morning, you weren't even sure what day of the week it was because it's just so crazy. He says, come to me and I'm gonna give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Doesn't that sound beautiful? So I want you to think about it. Why don't you close your eyes, bow your head. Let's just have a Sabbath moment together. Can we do that? Just a moment, just to forget about everything else going on in your life. And I want you to think about that invitation from Jesus where he says, come to me. Right? He says, just come to me. I want everybody to take a big, deep breath. Hold it for like 3 seconds and exhale. One more big, deep breath and exhale. And Jesus says, come to me. Listen, all of you that are weary and burdened and frenzied and overworked, I want you to come to me. And the picture I'm getting in my head right now is I think about my daughter. She's 2.5 and she didn't really know how to hug right now. And so when I ask her for a hug, instead of coming up to me and wrapping her arms around my neck, she just backs her little body into my body and just kind of falls into me. And that's a hug for her. That's what I'm envisioning for you guys right now. When Jesus says, come to me. All of you who are weary and burdened and stressed out and overworked and frenzied, he's like, just come to me. Just kind of lean back into my arms. And I want you to literally just in this moment, feel yourself being embraced by Jesus. And feel the warmth of his embrace, the warmth of his love, the warmth of his grace. So just stay there in that moment and just know that you are loved simply because you exist. To know in this moment that God could not love you any more or any less than he does in this very moment. You are fully known and you are fully loved. And he knows what you need better than anybody else, including yourself. And he says, come to me. All of you who are weary and burdened, he says, I will give you, and here's the key line, he said, I will give you rest for your souls. Just think about that for a second, rest for your souls. See, the kind of rest that you need right now in your life is not the kind of rest that's gonna be fixed with a 2-hour nap this afternoon. It's not the kind of rest that's gonna be fixed by a 2-week vacation, although you may need that and want that and deserve that. What Jesus is saying is that you're tired at the soul level. You're tired in a place that only he alone can breathe life and energy into you. And all he's trying to do with the Sabbath is help you find a rhythm that reminds you that he created you, a rhythm that reminds you that he sustains you, a rhythm that reminds you of his love and his grace, and that you're not the general manager of this universe. He is. And you can trust him. And whether or not we're willing to surrender and to lean into his arms and to have these Sabbaths determines whether or not we really trust him or whether or not we're just talking a big game. So God, I pray that you would help us to find a new rhythm, to find a new pattern, to find a way to institute a Sabbath in our life where we can be reminded that we are loved and we are cared for by a good, good God, that you are fully capable of not only taking care of our biggest problem, which was our sin problem, all by yourself. You're fully capable of sustaining our lives in this world, and we need to trust you. So help us not to find our identity in our work and our frenzied lifestyle, but in you and in you alone. And so right now, Lord, we just want to take a few minutes where we collectively as a group, corporately as a group, just lean into you, lean into your love, lean into your care, and just be reminded that we are loved simply because we exist. God, we are so grateful for you and for this rhythm of life that you've invited us into, for it's in your holy and your precious name that we pray. Amen.